There are thousands of churches in the world today, all claiming to be the church or part of the church that Jesus built. And yet in Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, "I will build my church." How many churches did Jesus build? We'll talk about that in our lesson today. Please stay tuned.
And now, John Grubb.
Welcome to our program today. It is a privilege to be with you as we continue to study God's Word, as we study basic facts of the faith. In our last lesson, we began a discussion of why Jesus came to earth. One of the reasons that Jesus came to earth was to save man from sin. And Jesus died on the cross so that we might have the opportunity for eternal life. Another reason that Jesus came to this earth was to purchase His church. There are several passages that show the church was planned before God created the world. In Acts 20 and verse 28, Paul says, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood." Note, please, that Jesus purchased the church with His own blood. When was it planned for Jesus to use His precious blood to purchase the church? Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through 20. Jesus shed His blood to purchase the church. When was that planned? Before the foundation of the world. Before the world was created. And then in Ephesians 3, Paul tells us, "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." Ephesians 3, verses 10 and 11. When Jesus said, as recorded in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Jesus made that statement as recorded in Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. But He knew that was not just some plan that He came up with after He came to the earth. Because of the passages we have read together, this was planned before the world was created. Paul says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. Yes, Jesus came to the earth to save mankind from our sins. And He came to purchase His church. It was never in God's plan to have hundreds and thousands of man-made churches or denominations. The plan was always to have just one church, and that all believers were to be part of that one church. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, "Upon this rock I will build my church." How many churches did Jesus promise to build? Church is singular, which means only one. And the Bible teaches unity, not division. In John chapter 17, verses 20 through 22, Jesus prays for unity of the believers. Not division of the believers, but unity of the believers. He says, beginning in verse 20 of John 17, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one." You see, Jesus prayed that all of His followers might be one or united, so that people in the world would believe that Christ was sent to the earth to save sinful men. He did not want hundreds and thousands of different churches teaching different doctrines contrary to His will. The Bible urges unity, oneness, not division. Paul also urged brethren to be united. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Do you see the emphasis here on unity? No divisions among you, but be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. He says in verse 11, "For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, 'I am of Paul,' or 'I of Apollos,' or 'I of Cephas,' or 'I of Christ.'" Apparently some were following Paul, others were following Apollos, who was another preacher. Others were following Cephas, and Cephas is another name for Peter, and some were following Christ. Paul asks the questions, "Is Christ divided?" No. "Was Paul crucified for you?" No. "Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" No. All of these questions point out we are not to follow men, we are to follow Christ. Be united, Paul says, not divided. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. What a great emphasis on unity. And those ones that Paul mentions there, indicating a unity of thought and purpose. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Yes, Christ is the only head of the one church he promised to build. It is in his church that we are able to be saved from our sins. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Where is salvation found? It's found in the body of Christ. What is the body? It is the church. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, Paul says, Christ is the only head of the body, and the body is the church. Ephesians 5:23 points out, salvation is in the body of Christ. What is the body? It is the church. You see, Paul uses a normal illustration here to show the relationship between Christ and the church. A normal body just has one head. A normal head just has one body. Christ is the one head of his one body, which is the church. It is very important that we are in the body or in the church of Christ, because it is in Christ, in his body, where we find salvation. And that connects with Matthew 16 and verse 18. Upon this rock I will build my church. Not my churches, but my church. Jesus only promised, he only intended to build one church, which is his body. And so we see why Jesus came to this earth. He came to save man from sin. He came to purchase his church. And we learn that salvation is in his body. It is in his church. So because Jesus built one church, and yet today in the world, there are thousands of different churches all claiming to be the church that Jesus built or part of the church that Jesus built. The question is, how do we find the church that Jesus built today? The fact that there are more than 3,000 different churches in the United States of America. Most of these churches claiming to be the church that Jesus built, or at least one of the so-called branches of the church. We have already studied that Jesus came to the earth to build his church. He only built one church. He did not build hundreds or thousands of churches. If Jesus only built one church, why are there so many different churches today. From where did all these churches come? The New Testament tells us that people would leave the truth. Paul wrote in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." In Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 31, Paul gives this warning. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, the Bible again records the words of the Apostle Paul. "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving." 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. The Spirit says, in the future, some people are going to depart from the faith. And that is exactly what they did. Just a few decades after the church began, people began leaving the faith. In the second century, the church began changing its organization, bringing about an organization that was unknown to the New Testament. And those changes that took place slowly through the years eventually resulted in a completely new church, totally different from the church that Jesus built. Yes, the Bible said people would go away from the faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, Paul again says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching." Why, Paul? Verse 3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. Since the church began, people have slowly gone away from the truth. This has resulted in the hundreds of denominations that are here today. Jesus does not approve of these churches. He did not build them. They are man-made churches. They are churches that divide believers in Christ. Christianity is pre-denominational. The church came into existence hundreds of years before any denomination ever existed. Jesus built one church, not thousands of churches. If He only built one church, where did these thousands of churches come from? They came from man. Many people make the statement, churches are all alike. Or they might say, churches are about the same. There is not much difference in churches. Are these statements true? We agree. There are similar things between churches. And some churches seem to be about the same, but they are not the same. How do we find out which church is the one Jesus built? There are thousands in existence. How can we find the right church? We find the church Jesus built by looking for the characteristics that are recorded in the New Testament. We all use characteristics in our lives. We identify people by using characteristics. People are identified by name, by description, by identification numbers, by passport numbers. People can be identified by fingerprints. No fingerprints are the same. And now we can use DNA to tell a person's identity. We understand the concept of characteristics. We know that people have different characteristics. They have different color hair, different color eyes. They're different height. They're different weight. They have different names, different birthdays, and yet we recognize that some people may look similar. For example, if you're looking for me, you're looking for John Grubb, you're looking for someone with kind of brown hair, a little gray hair, blue eyes, you're looking for someone that is under 6 feet in height. There are characteristics that help you to identify this John Grubb. Am I the only John Grubb in the world? No, there are many people in the world with my name. So it's not enough just to find someone with the name John Grubb. In order to find this John Grubb, you have to find all of my characteristics. If your child became lost, how would you find him or her? You would ask for the help of the police. When the police help you, they will ask you, what does your child look like? Do you have a recent photograph or picture of your child? For example, if your child is a 10-year-old boy with blue eyes, blonde hair, weighing about 75 pounds. Would you be satisfied if the police brought you an 8-year-old girl with brown eyes and red hair? You say, well, no, I would not be satisfied with that. Why not? She's a child, isn't she? Are not children all about the same? Isn't one child just as good as another? You would not be satisfied until the child with all of your child's characteristics was found. Also, once a child with all of your child's characteristics was found, you would stop looking for your child. You would not keep on looking for your child. The child you're looking for was found. And the child found would have to have all, not just a few, of the characteristics of your child. Just as children are not all alike, automobiles are not all alike. We identify automobiles by characteristics. If you paid $50,000 for an automobile, you would not want that automobile to be a small, cheap car. It had better be a Cadillac, a Mercedes-Benz, or a BMW. What is the difference between a Cadillac, a BMW, a Mercedes-Benz, and a small, cheap car? They both have engines, windows, doors, tires, etc. They are all about the same, right? No. They are similar, but they are not the same. If we pay that much money, we will not be happy with a small, cheap car. In our next program, we'll show how that applies to the church that Jesus built.